In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, good day. This is Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Please stay home today, as this storm has not ended. Stay home today. Let this be a day of rest, a day where you do things that you want to do. Let this be a day of blessing for you, a great day of blessing for you. I'm reading from Isaiah today, and it's 42, Isaiah 42. God says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I am well pleased." Oh, yes, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. We heard these words in the Jordan River. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We heard it again on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But you see, in him, in Christ, the Lord says of you, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." If you are in Christ and he is in you, the Lord says, "I am well pleased with you." And you say, "You know, but I'm an underachiever. I never got what I needed to get. I'm always behind the eight ball." The Lord says, "This is my beloved child. He is in Jesus. And I am well pleased with him. I am well pleased that every day they start again. No matter what faces them, they continue to move forward. And no matter how many obstacles happen, yes, they fall down, but they get up again. This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." Listen to the next line. "Upon whom I have put..." This is my beloved Son, the one on whom I have put my spirit. He has placed his Holy Spirit within you. He has placed his Holy Spirit within you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He is pleased with you no matter what you're going through today. As I said, you might be saying, "I'm an underachiever. I'm always behind the eight ball. Things never happen right." But you are his beloved in the beloved. You see, it's never apart from Jesus. You are his beloved in the beloved. In Christ, you are the beloved of God. And you must realize that you are the chosen one. He has chosen you to be his very own. That you are his son. You are his daughter. By grace, by grace. We are what Jesus is by grace, that you're the Son of God. You're the daughter of God by grace, that the same Holy Spirit that dwells in Jesus dwells in you, that the same life that flows through Jesus flows through you by grace. It's all about grace. It's by grace you are a partaker of the divine nature, that grace dwells within you, that you are God's own son, God's own daughter. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. And you look at your past through the glasses of failure, but the Lord looks at you through the beloved, through the cross, through the blood. He looks at you not as a failure. You are not a failure in the eyes of God. You are his beloved child, his beloved son, the one in whom he's well pleased. As he said that to Jesus in the Jordan River, he says that to you today. You are my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. If you are in Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus, we live and move and have our being. We are in Christ. You see, it's never apart from Christ. It's always in the Beloved. We are beloved in the Beloved. We are children of God by grace, blood-washed, children of God. What does St. John say? St. John says, Beloved. Let's take that word, Beloved. Be loved. Be loved. We are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light. But we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is beyond comprehension. We shall become like him because we shall see him as he is, because we are graced, because the divine life lives in you. You look at your life through the glasses of failure, through the glasses of being behind the eight ball, through the glasses of being an underachiever. That's not the way the Lord looks at you. That's why we have to take him by the hand every day and believe who we are in him, not who the world says we are. You know, the world, what does the world tell you? The world tells me I'm a big failure. Why? Here I am, an older person, never married, no children. I don't have what they say is important. That's what the world says. But what does God say? My beloved, he is in my Son. All things belong to him in Christ. He is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He is in Christ Jesus. And behold, all things that are bad have passed away, and behold, the new has come. You see, if you want to look at things the way the world looks at things, yes, we're all big failures, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, faith in him, in Jesus Christ, in his cross, in his blood, in his resurrection. We walk by faith, not by sight. People would say, well, that's foolish. Foolish? No, that's life. That's life eternal. That's eternal life, because we believe and we have surrendered our life, and we know to whom we have surrendered to, that he will not forsake us. He will not leave us. He will not abandon us. He will not let us be called orphaned. We belong to him. That's the greatest thing. That's the greatest thing, that you belong to him. There's nothing greater. You belong to him. Oh, yes, they just had that great lottery of how many million dollars. Listen, I'm going to just tell you, you belong to Jesus Christ. Every breath that you take, he caresses your breath. He loves you. If you have lived for him, you've got a reward coming to you, and much more than a reward. His hand is on your head, and he shall never forsake you. He shall never leave you. You know, the world thinks that you've got to have a trillion. You've got to have a million. You've got to have a billion. I'm going to tell you, what does it all mean? What does it all mean? Because everyone dies. You understand that? Everyone dies. And the only thing we're going to bring with us when we die is our faith that yielded to love. Our faith that yielded to love. That's all we're going to bring with us. We're not going to have anything else. That's what that's all we have. That's all our faith that yields to love. Nothing else. You know, we just heard that David Nelson died, Ozzy and Harriet's oldest son. You know, I when I heard it on the radio, I started to reminisce. You know, I started to reminisce when I was a child. We used to watch Ozzy and Harriet and David and Ricky. Oh, yes, and poor Ricky died when he was a young boy, a very young boy. And he was just coming up and things and music and everything, and the poor boy died. You know, like, what could David bring with him? He can't bring anything but faith that works through love. He can't bring the estates that he got from his parents. That's all gone. That's all gone. same thing with the officials in the church. You know? What can a bishop bring with him when the bishop dies? His mitre? That's not going to do anything. The only thing the bishop can bring is his faith, which worked through love, and how he cared for the sheep. That's all he can bring. Nothing else. No ring, no mitre, no crozier. It's all that way with all of us. Faith working through love, that's all we can bring. Nothing else. Partakers of the divine nature. You know, here we have this blizzard going on, you know? Blizzard going on. And you know what I think about today? I think about 19th of March, St. Joseph's Day, when the birds go back to Capistrano, when the swallows go back to Capistrano. And you know, I'm going to tell you, you are God's elect, you are God's chosen one now. And when you stop breathing, you're going to be just like those swallows. You're going to just fly home right to the Lord if you remain faithful, if you continue to walk with him. You're the blood-washed children of God. What you shall later be has not yet come to light. But we know that when it does come to light, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is, yes. And right now he holds your hand. Right now he sees you through the valley of the shadow of death. Right now he knows all your troubles. Right now, and he's with you, and he's for you. He's never against you. Right now, no matter what your obstacles are, he is with you. He's never against you. He is for you. He's never against you. Right now. So you say, you know, I've fallen, I've sinned. Well, you know what? It's time to come back. It's time to confess your sins. It's time to go to confession. It's time to go under the blood. It's time to repent. Oh, yes, repent. Because you know why? Because we have time to repent now. Now is the time to repent. Don't wait till tomorrow. Now is the time to repent. And he'll take you back. He'll take you back. He'll take you back. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's got your best interest at hand. He gave his life for you. He bled for you. He knows your name. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forsake her child at her breast? But even if your mother forsake you, I will never forsake you, for I have graven you on the palms of my hand." But Jerusalem said, "The Lord has forgotten me. The Lord has forsaken me." That's how it felt. That's how it felt. The Lord has forgotten me. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord doesn't even know my name. Can a woman forsake her child at her breast? But even if your mother forsake you, I will never forsake you. I have graven you on the palms of my hands. When those nails went through Jesus, your name was engraved on the palm of his hand. How can he forsake you? I shall never forsake you, my children. I have carved you on the palm of my hand. I will never forsake you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will never forget my own. You see, that's because you belong to him. You belong to him. You've been ransomed by the blood. The divine life lives in you by grace. You belong to him, and he cannot forsake you. He will never leave you. He will never leave you. He holds you by the hand, and, you know, you have to walk with him in faith. So you've got things you've got to face that are big, very big obstacles. Okay, I'm not going to diminish the obstacles, okay? I'm not going to diminish the obstacles. They are very big obstacles that you have to face. But I can tell you this, in reality, you do not have to face them alone. He will go with you. He will walk with you. I was thinking of Carmela Mucini yesterday. Carmela was a beautiful little woman of God. Oh, she had such wonderful faith, such wonderful faith. Things would happen to Carmela that didn't often happen to people. Carmela went to one of the best hospitals in Boston. She had a heart operation. And, you know, Carmela, the bills were astronomical. She had no insurance. And so she would send $25 a month to the hospital. Well, she got a notice that she had to go to court. She had to go to court because the hospital was saying this is detestable. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and $25 a month. This is detestable. And so poor Carmela had no lawyer. You know, she was kind of a shrinking violet. And there was the judge. She tells the story. He looked like he'd send his mother up the river. And so, you know, he investigates the hospital, and she owes this many thousands of dollars. And the judge looks so angry, and then he looks at Carmela, and he says, "How much are you sending them?" And she's whimpering now. She says, $25 a month. Can you work? Your Honor, I can't work yet. I'm not strong enough. Did it cost you anything to get here to court today? She said, I had to muster all my life forces because not only did I have to muster all my life forces because I'm very weak, she said, and I'm scared because I've never been before a judge before. I've never been before a judge before. So the judge looked at her and said, "How much do you send them?" She said, "Judge, I send them what I can, $25 a month." The judge looked at her, and then he looked at the lawyer of the hospital. He banged the gavel, and he looked at the man and said, "Leave this woman alone. This woman can barely get by the day. I'm going to tell you how much she's going to send you." And he bangs the gavel. 25 cents a month. 25 cents a month. Carmela thought that she was hearing things. 25 cents a month. I remember her going to the hospital. And I remember when she went to pay her bill, it was 25 cents. The people said, "You can't give us 25 cents when they looked at her record. This was Mrs. Mucini, and it was ordered by the court. But you want to know what? When she got better, she worked at the telephone company, and she paid every single cent back. Every single cent. She didn't have to do that. She didn't have to do that. She was ordered to give 25 cents. But she gave it all. She gave it all. She paid her bill because she knew who she was. She belonged to Christ, and Christ belonged to her. And, you know, this was a woman. This was a woman that was mistreated by the world until Jesus came into her life. She became a new person, a brand new person, a person that shone like the sun. And she had beautiful stories because she walked by faith, you know. But every once in a while, she'd shrink back and think, you know, I'm not very much. But she was more than most people are because she walked by faith. And she knew the Lord, and God blessed her. And so many people, I love the story that she told when she went, she was on the way to the hospital, and she had to take the MTA or MBTA. And so she gets into the MTA, into the bus, which goes to Everett Station, and there's this lady, a woman on the street, and Carmela has this bandana on her head, and the woman looked at the bandana, you know, she's all dirty, this woman, she's someone on the street. And she's looking at Carmela's bandana, and she says to Carmela, "What a beautiful, beautiful kerchief you have." So Carmela said, "Would you like it?" She said, "Oh, yes, I would love it." So Carmela gave her kerchief, and, you know, Carmela went to the hospital, you know. Months later, she gets on the bus again to go to the hospital. And this woman comes up there. She's dressed lovely now. and she's got the bandana on. And she says, "You're the lady who gave me this kerchief." She says, "Yes, you look so beautiful now." She said, "I'm never taking this kerchief off. I'm never taking this kerchief off." So Carmel said, "What do you mean?" She says, "When I left you, I got off the bus, and I had this kerchief on, and my son looked at me. I found my son, or he found me. It was by coincidence." And he said, "Mother, is that you? If you stop drinking, you can live with me. I'm never taking this kerchief off. This gave me good luck," Carmela said. "It's not the kerchief. It's Jesus." She says, "Jesus." She said, "You don't know what I've done." She said, "I'm going to tell you, I don't care what you've done. Jesus' blood can wash you clean." There was a woman in the Bible named Mary Magdalene, and the woman looked at her. "My name is Mary." Oh, yes. And Carmela told her the good news. "I'm going to tell you, you know, who was Carmela Mucini? To the world, nothing. To God, the beloved daughter of the Father, the blood-washed child of God, the one in whom he was well pleased. Who was Carmela Mucini? The blessing, partaker of the divine nature." That's who Carmela Mucini was. But before Jesus, she was the shrinking violet. She was a person that people would just pass through the crowd. But I tell you, just yesterday I had a friend of hers in the office, and I said, "When did Carmela die?" And she told me Carmela died a long time ago. But I just always remember Carmela with great love. When I was in the seminary, you know, she was a telephone operator, and she would call me, and she would say to me, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." I remember once when I was an altar server at one of the charismatic experiences, she said, "Tommy, I remember you were looking at the cross that you were carrying, and your eyes were fixed upon the cross." She said, "I'll never forget that." I'm going to tell you, Carmela is with the Lord today, partaker of the divine nature. What did she bring with her? Faith that yields to love. Listen today. Know who you are. You belong to him. I don't care what obstacle you have. You don't have to face it alone. Jesus Christ the Lord is with you. Take him by the hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Know who you are. You belong to him and he belongs to you. You are his beloved and he is yours. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Your blood washed. Just surrender to him. Don't be afraid. Fear is useless. The only thing you need is trust. Fear is useless. The only thing you need is trust. He will get you through. There is no impossible situation. He will get you through. I want everyone to pray for my friend Mary Jane. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bring Mary Jane back to health. In the name of Jesus, by the blood that was shed at Calvary, help Mary Jane today, that today they would get the right medicine for her so that she can be her real self again. Father, we thank you for Mary Jane and for the love that she's shown so many people. But today we ask you that you would heal Mary Jane, that her blessing, you would be a blessing to her, and the doctors would get her the right stuff so that she could come back and just be herself again. Father, we pray for Mary Jane because she's your beloved. She's in you, and she's in Christ. She's blood washed, and I pray that you do a blessing for her. Bring her back to us, oh God. Bring her back to us, oh God, because she's a great blessing, and we need her. In Jesus' name, we pray for Mary Jane, and we pray for you right now, everyone that listens to me. Father, in Jesus' name, touch your people. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.